Cheesehead TV, coming to you live on a Monday night. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, to carry the G as we do every week. I am alone. My co-founder, Corey Banky, is very busy on this Monday evening leading up to New Year's Eve. So I'm driving the ship by myself, but you know what? As Corey likes to say, no one's here to see us. We all know why we're here. We're here to talk to the man, the myth, the legend, a gentleman who carried the ball 9 times for 41 yards and chipped in 3 receptions for 15 yards against the Browns on Christmas Day. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. A.J. Dillon. What is up, A.J.? There he is.
What's going on, man? How you doing? How you doing? Happy to be back.
Another doing well, man. Doing well.
TV week and dub. Love it.
Always a dub. Always a dub when A.J. shows up and graces us with his presence. Look, first of all, before I ask anything, how was your Christmas? You have a good holiday? Do you have a
Christmas
good time? I know you played.
Thanks for asking. How about yours?
It was excellent. It was too short. It was weird. I'll ask about this later, but it was weird having a game on Christmas. I'll just say that. Like, just as far as like the routine of a game day on a holiday, that was just weird. But let's rewind a little bit leading up to this game, and then now really kind of permeating throughout the week, not only in Green Bay, but throughout the NFL. COVID's back, baby. And I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask at least a little bit about what it's been like in the facility, around the locker room. Obviously, a number of guys got put on the COVID list leading up to the game, even, like within hours prior to the game. And now across the league, a number of guys placed on the list, 4 Packers today. What has the transition been like? How has it been odd, or is it kind of like, okay, we're back to where we were because you guys have been through some of this before?
Yeah, I think, it's been a rough, I guess, 2 years now, just on everybody, just kind of but adapting with the protocols and things like that. But, you know, I feel like we do a really good job. I don't know what any other teams do, obviously, but we do a good job of trying to go about our normal, like being able to live our lives as well as also being as safe as we possibly can. So, you know, for the most part, nobody's really going anywhere where they don't absolutely have to. Just trying to be cautious of things like that. But, you know, it's not necessarily controllable, you know. I'm not going to get too much into the whole science of everything, but,
right,
you know, some people Thank have you. Vaccines and get it. Some people don't and do. So, you know, it's tough, but, you know, that next man up mentality, we're prepared for it. We're going to hit this week running and, you know, go out there and play that game on Sunday.
What's coach's message been as far as, or just as far as like just logistics wise, are you guys going to go full remote this week? Meetings wise and Zoom wise and things like that? Or are you going to be able to get on the field at least a little bit for practice?
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything like that. Nothing like that's been brought to my attention, but, you know, as of right now, I'm just going to see what the schedule says tomorrow and show up and do my job. But, you know, looking forward to it. We got a great NFC North opponent. We owe these guys. So,
you do.
Get ready. Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the Christmas game for a little bit here. First of all, how cool was it to be on the field and, or at least on the sideline, and be able to congratulate Aaron Rodgers after he broke that record and be in the building, so to speak, and as a teammate? You know, they got Favre up on the Jumbotron, the crowd's going nuts. That had to be at least a little, if not surreal, at least really cool.
No, it's definitely awesome. It's crazy. I feel like every week he's breaking some new record. And so I remember it was like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I forget, he broke some records. Like, I think it was most touchdowns or most games with like 3 touchdowns and no picks or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
And I congratulated him. I was like, congrats on another one. I'm sure you lost count by now. Now here he goes breaking, obviously, you know, the all-time touchdown leader. That's so sick. Just to be out there and, you know, be able to give him a high five and just kind of see him like really get excited. And everybody, the whole stadium was probably as loud as I've heard it. So that was awesome. It's really cool. It kind of makes me feel like a little kid. Like I'm watching it on the Jumbotron happen. Like I'm sitting back on my couch watching it on TV. Like I'm not 10 feet away from it, but right now it was really, really cool to be a part of.
That's awesome. Talking about your part in this victory, you got a lot of tough yards in this game. There were a number. I mean, they're obviously a very physical front. A number of really talented players across the defensive front for the Browns. Is that the most or one of the most physical defensive fronts you've faced so far in the NFL?
I don't know.
None of them are physical to you.
I didn't feel it. Like, you know what? When we played Baltimore, I felt that one. And I think right. I had less carries. I felt that one. They tackle hard. They were aggressive. I felt good yesterday. I feel good today. So probably
that's
not.
Good. That's good. I mentioned how it was odd for me playing on Christmas Day. Was it odd for you? Yeah. Was it odd for the players? I mean, it's just such – you equate – I think most sports fans equate Christmas Day with basketball and the NBA. They've kind of owned that holiday for a long time. Was it odd to be playing on Christmas?
It was weird. It didn't feel like game day, and it didn't feel like Christmas, if that makes sense. I know it's
– That makes total
now
sense.
Now I'm saying it feels like nothing. But, I mean, when I woke up, it was Christmas, and I had some family here and – you know, we did some gifts and stuff, and I'm like, I feel like I got something else. I couldn't really enjoy it all the way. And then going out there and playing the game, I'm like, I was just opening the gifts, and I walked into the stadium in a onesie. I don't know. But, it was a lot of fun, though. It was super fun. And to see, I think we had, I mean, I don't know what it holds, but we were pretty much packed house in the seat.
Yeah, they had 77,000 plus. Yeah, they
77,000 people out there. Spending their Christmas Day with us definitely makes you feel really grateful. So it was awesome.
That's so cool. Speaking of being grateful, I'm grateful that each and every week we have a fantastic panel of folks that join us. Let's bring in this week's panel, including Susanna Callis, our former intern here at Cheesehead TV, Anastasia Brada from the Fudge and Meat podcast. If you guys don't know it, you guys got to check it out. They do great stuff on the Packers and the Brewers. And finally, Peter Bukowski, who obviously covers the Packers with Locked On Packers and all things across the internet. Let's start with Susanna. Susanna, what you got for AJ?
Yeah, well, because you played on Christmas, I have to ask, what's your favorite Christmas movie or tradition or song?
Home Alone, absolutely. 10 out of 10. I could watch Home Alone 1 and 2 every day. 3, and after that, the new remake. Kind of lose me, but 1 and 2, best. You can watch them year round. Great. What about you?
I like White Christmas.
Okay. It's good. It's not as good, but still good.
I just saw Home Alone for the first time like 2 weeks ago. I've watched 1 and 2, but not 3. So.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. I have another question. Who is, like, one player or coach on the Packers who doesn't get enough praise for their contributions to the team?
Ooh, that is a good question. That's a loaded question. Let me think. first name that comes to mind is Alan Lazard. But I do feel like he has been this year actually getting a lot of praise. I do think a lot of people do see all the dirty work and stuff that he does. And then obviously make big plays like he did on Saturday. But now, I guess, since he is being seen, I guess Josiah DeGuara would be the next person that pops into my mind. I guess if you're looking just stats and X's and O's, it doesn't look like he's necessarily going crazy, but he does a lot of stuff for us, especially in the run game, which I know tight ends obviously want to be featured more in the pass game. And when he does get those opportunities, especially like later on in the season, he's really been doing his thing. But he opens up a lot of holes, and he'll be tasked to block D ends and come down and hit linebackers. And just, you know, that thing that opens up 1 or 2 more yards for us in the backfield, sets up the play action game. So he does a lot. I'd say Josiah DeGuara.
Love that. Great question, Susanna. Next up, we got Anastasia. Anastasia, what you got for AJ?
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
My first question. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
So my first question is kind of a two-parter. So it would be, what is your most memorable play at any stage in your career? Mm-hmm. And as a follow-up, if you have an answer, is there a play where you just feel like you missed the mark so badly it makes you cringe to think about it?
Yeah. Okay. So for the first one, I'd say going back to my freshman year in college, we played Syracuse at Syracuse, played in the Carrier Dome. And the first carry I got that game, they had my mom in the end zone, mm-hmm. Like the family section, but we were away. So normally they put them up in the nosebleeds, like where Jordan Lowe's mom was in Kansas City. But first carry I got, took it off, took right off and scored right in the end zone. It was right there, my mom, like right next to each other, and they pointed at each other. And then I came back in, I had another run. It was like 30 yards. And then the third carry I had and scored again. It was just kind of like one of those, like, couldn't make it up. I haven't felt like I've had some great games and some great moments, but scoring in three carries twice was awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then what was your second question?
Was there any play where you just missed the mark and it makes you cringe to think about?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I have one of those. I'm like my own worst critic. Like I get on myself, but I probably have won a game. One that sticks out is this last game. I had one in that like fourth quarter drive, 2 minutes left. Not the one where we had 45 seconds or whatever. The first carry I had, it was first and 10. I feel like I could have picked my legs up a little more, and towards the end of it, I'm trying to push myself up with one arm, and I ended up like pushing myself to like another 3 or 4 yards from where I got hit at. But I feel like I could have actually got out of that and then, you know, ran off for a while. I wouldn't have scored because it's not the smart thing to do. I'd have stopped and taken a knee at the 1 yard line so we can end the game. I'm not a big guy. But yeah.
I mean, obviously, that's still super impressive. But I guess my final question is, I'm a Green Bay native, so of course I love it here and I know the appeal, but you know, you came from a big city like Boston. So for you, what's the appeal of Green Bay? Because it seems like you really like it here.
Yeah, no, I love it. I just got a home here. Obviously, I have the key to Door County. Free tours and field trips on me, guys, when you guys let me know. But I just think I'm a really big family person. And that's just kind of how I was raised, with those kind of family morals and things like that. And I feel like everybody I've met in Green Bay just kind of shares similar values to how I was raised and how I was brought up. And it's a great community. Obviously, the football piece is great. We have the best fans in football. I'll shout that from the mountaintops. But, you know, the people we have here besides, like, take away the football piece, because one day I'm not going to be able to play for the Green Bay Packers or play in the NFL anymore. I really do enjoy just going to a Quick Trip and hearing somebody try to tell me that that's the best coffee in the world or just anything. And it doesn't always have to be Door County. I like just hanging out in Green Bay. So I do enjoy it. I love it. I love kind of just what everybody is about here.
Nice. That Midwestern hospitality.
Exactly. One last thing. I heard Nagler say fudge and meat.
Oh,
yeah. Where does that come from? I'm just really curious.
Well, I have a co-host. There's two of us. We call her Fudge and I'm Meat. And our friends sometime during high school gave us these nicknames, and they have absolutely ridiculous stories behind them. Fudge is way more hilarious, but
all right.
I can tell you, as Meat, it's honestly just because I like red meat a lot.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to check.
Check
now, you guys have a great like name for your podcast. I'm very intrigued, so I'll be listening.
Love it. Thank you, Anastasia. And hey, I've been telling people to listen. They need to record more. They have to be a little more regular. Hey. I've chided them about this.
I know.
But they do great stuff.
In college, it's hard.
Yeah. Everyone's got an excuse. Everybody's got stuff to do. Just record more. You guys are great. You and Lily both, awesome stuff. Finally, we got Peter Bukowski from Locked On Packers. Peter, what you got for AJ?
As a Syracuse grad, he just hurt my feelings a little bit. So I don't know. But
never lost in the Carrier Dome.
Two games. Listen, everyone beat us at the Carrier Dome. It was
two games, six duds. Sheesh.
Yikes. Well, it's
bad,
it's
bad data being alone.
It's a lot. It's a lot more fun to see you in the green and gold doing it that way than to my alma mater. So speaking of your BC days, because that's where I want to go here, is we've seen you this year make a bunch of plays in the passing game, right? And you look really natural doing it. But coming out of college, it was something that people said, we don't know if he can be a part of an NFL passing game. Now, I would just like to say, for the record, I was like, just because they didn't ask him to do it doesn't mean he can't do it. I said, I think he's got soft hands. But did you hear that criticism? How did you react to that criticism when that was being leveled on you?
You know, I heard it, obviously. I say it time and time again. I'm the guy who, I enjoy reading what people have to say. You know, I value other people's opinions. So I read all the Twitter comments, good, positive, negative, indifferent. And none of it like changes where my mind is. I don't let any of that get to me, but I do enjoy it. So I did see it. The negative stuff I just use as bulletin board material. I always say at BC, it wasn't a lack of ability in my catching. It was just lack of opportunity. That's not what we did. That's not what we had to do to win games. And but when I got here, I definitely made it a big point of emphasis to, you know, work on the pass game. Obviously, with 12 and the offense that we have to play running back on this team, you got to be able to do it all. You see that in Aaron Jones, and you saw it last year in Jamal. And over the years, he's obviously, Jamal was here. You can see that. And it's just something you got to be able to do. So it was a big point of emphasis for me to work on that and just continuously get better and still trying to get better.
How would the conversations change there? Like, was there ever a conversation early on like, hey, we think you can do this more? And has that evolved? Because now it seems like Aaron Rodgers has plenty of faith in you to just throw it out there. Like, I'm ready to see you on those wheels. I want to see some HB seams. Like, I want to see you running free down the middle.
I think it's definitely a trust thing. You know, just kind of going out there and executing time and time again. You got a guy like Aaron. He's seen it all, done it all, played with the best of the best or against the best of the best. And, you know, it's more than just, you know, going out there and doing it one time. You know, for him to trust you, I take a lot of pride in those little dump passes or those little checkdowns, because that's when he's scrambling. That means his first, second, third read didn't work out. And people are probably in his face. He needs to get this off. And he's banking on you to get it done. So I take a lot of pride in, you know, those little times where I can get whatever, however many yards, or advance it for a first down if I can, make the first guy miss. So, you know, it's really cool to be a part of and just keep growing. I always say that on here. It's really fun to feel my game grow each week. And, you know, now what I got, like next offseason, what I'm really going to be working on is, you know, being able to catch, and then that catch, the move after the catch. You know, I need to develop that a little bit more, but, you know, it's fun.
Bouncing off 7 Seahawks and going for 40 is probably pretty fun too.
Yeah, I got to score though. I got to score. If we were playing at the Carrier Dome, I'm going to score.
That's perfect. Wait, but Pete, you had
AJ,
it.
AJ, you cut me you to sent, the quick.
When you sent it over, I loved your – the. You kind of mentioned it there, but AJ, what's it going to take? Who do we got to bribe? Like, do I have to like call LaFleur? Yes. We got to get you on a wheel route deep, man. Let's make that happen at least once this year. Just
you
once.
You were doing it in camp. One like, time. I want to see it.
Hey, it's all going to happen when it's supposed to happen. You don't want people. Right. I know we got every, all I know is every single team, they do their scouting report and they come on and they watch this show. Don't be letting them know.
Clearly, the obviously. People,
the Vikings are watching Cheesehead TV right now. Now they're going to prepare
see,
for the
wheel. See, so you, joke. This week. You joke. You joke. My mentions today were literally filled with Vikings fans. So, yeah, I'm hey, scared. I'm serious. Very scared. They have no chill. All right, folks. That's right. It's time. It's that time of week. The man. Let's bring him in. Tyler Herrick with AJ's
there
Social Life.
There he is. Oh, we got some new movies today.
AJ Dillon. Wow. Hey, man.
What's going on, my
dude,
guy?
Dude,
Another week, another dub. Dude, you're taking out the haters. Every single week you come on the show, it's another W, man. I mean, like, we've already proven that it's science. We talked about science earlier in the episode. Now we know what truly is science here. You come on Cheesehead TV, you get the win.
Yes. It's just that simple. Just that simple.
I mean, we don't even need to talk about it anymore. Like, rest of the season, who cares, man? Who cares? Speaking of taking out the haters, you were taking out the haters one comment at a time on TikTok. Hey, let's roll this TikTok that you put up just the other day.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Go Pack Go.
Oh man, that was so good. Hey, for those who couldn't see, there's a little comment on there. For those who are not very, TikTok fluent, there's a little comment on there. And when you click on the comment, it was a Browns fan saying that the Browns were going to win this week. Looks like somebody with first name AJ, last name Dylan, kept the receipts. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you gotta keep the receipts, man. That's the most fun. But, you know, I wasn't going to be the guy that's, you know, dancing or stomping on their logo or anything like that. But, you know, I just wanted to wish all my followers a Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, and hope that they're safe. It just so happened that that comment, you know, just ended up in the top of the video. I must have forgot to delete it.
Must have just found it. It must have just been in there somewhere. It was just in there. Yeah. Hey, so did you tell Jonesy about that? I mean, obviously he was in the video with you, but he had to have known that comment was going on there.
Yeah, I was like, I showed him after the game. I was like, hey, I just let me run this by you. I got this video here. I'm gonna post. You want to hop in? He's like, oh, absolutely. So we had some fun with it.
So you were thinking about it the whole game. You're like, all right, this is it. Like, I got to get this.
Yes, that was my drive. That's why I woke up excited on Christmas morning. I was like, this guy's TikTok coming right here. I'm going to get him.
It's some 12-year-old like, oh, I got him. Hey, part of that video, though, I have a question. You know, prior to home games, a lot of times, like Cheesehead TV will go out, we'll make some content, we'll interview some fans, things like that. I always see the line of you guys coming in and out of that gate. And you showed some of that in your TikTok there. Hey, what's that like? Like, do you have any weird experiences? Like, you got other teams' fans throwing stuff at you. Like, you got any weird stories from that?
Yeah, I don't have any, like, stories of anybody throwing anything at me. But I do have – I mean, first of all, it is super cool. We always have to be at the stadium, I think, at least 2 hours, like 2.5 hours beforehand for home games. And obviously getting there, traffic's wild around the stadium. But when you do get in there, we'll have fans there. They're out there 3 hours ahead just so they can see us inside of our cars driving in. And then we'll have people standing outside, whether it's snowing, raining, night game, noon game. They'll be standing outside 2 hours after the game too, just sitting there and like, not always expecting to get a picture or autograph or anything like that, but this week it was really cool. I was actually one of the first to leave. Like I said, I have my family here, so I really wanted to, once I like showered and everything, really wanted to get home and enjoy Christmas with them. But right when I pulled out, there was a kid who just got my jersey. So the first person I saw had the 28, had to sign that. I can't not, you know. If you're wearing an AJ Dillon jersey, I got you. If it's something else, it's only right. I can't sign it. That's disrespectful to the other guy. You got to find him.
Exactly. It's absolutely. Yeah, that is great. Dude. You know, it is kind of treacherous walking through there. I mean, you ever accidentally almost hit some people going across? Oh. People running across in and out.
Oh,
all
yeah.
The time.
They don't. Some people just like, whatever. I'll just decide to walk in front of this car here, not look at all the like people trying to wave them off. But
that's great. Hey, you put up this tweet on your Twitter that I saw the other day. Well, you retweeted it. It looks like there's some love in the air at Lambeau Field that we're facilitating here. Take a look at this. A guy, his friend didn't show up or couldn't go to the game. So he goes on Hinge, finds someone with similar interests, which happens to be climate change, and then brings her to the game. Why did you retweet this? I mean, this is pretty great, though. This is a great story.
You know, this is modern day romance right here, and I'm a sucker for rom-coms. I woke up this morning, a bunch of people were tagging me in the comments, and I'm looking at it. And so what it was is the guy was on Hinge, which if anybody's not up to date on what that is, dating app. And, you know, like you said, his friend bailed. and he just went straight for it. He commented on this girl's page, and her thing was she wanted to talk about climate change, and he goes, come to this game with me at Lambeau, and we'll talk about and be a good sport, and we'll talk about climate change after the game. I mean, if that doesn't scream perfect relationship, I don't know what does. So I just said that climate change, you know, stands no chance against those two. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, watching W's and saving the world one tweet at a time. We love to see it. Hey, we were talking about, you're on a podcast right now. We were talking about podcasts before. Hey, congratulations, AJ, to you and your friend. You got 500 followers on Twitter already? Okay, yeah. Let's go.
There we go. Hey, I appreciate it.
Let's go. Congrats. You posted something else. You got 1,000, what is it, 1,000 listens? 1,000?
Yeah, we had like 3 episodes out, and it just, like, the thing showed us that we had 1,000 plays all the way through. So
let's go.
Baby steps. We'll take it.
The stock is going up. I'm buying. I'm buying right now.
The more you can do.
Exactly. Hey, what's it called? What's this podcast called again? And where can people find it?
Oh, it's called Tune Into Dylan. And you can go in any of my bios, on any of my social medias, and it'll bring you to all the links I have. Just go to the podcast one. TuneIntoDylan.com is a website. Enjoy, listen, kick back, and have a great time. Maybe grab a glass of wine.
Bring your Hinge date.
What?
Listen with your Hinge date.
Oh, I mean, yeah, but only if we don't have a climate change section yet.
Okay, that's coming. So yeah, episode 4 or 5, you talk about Brett Favre. Oh, I got to ask you about that in a second. But then episode 6, you get to climate change, is what you're saying.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so hey, what's this? Don't spoil it. We want people to go listen. But can you give us a little preview? Why are you talking about Brett Favre on an AJ Dillon podcast? Were you even born when Brett Favre was playing?
I was born. I was born for sure.
Okay, good.
The Brett Favre that I kind of know growing up is the one where he like retired a bunch of times and he came back. me as a little kid, me being a little kid not from Wisconsin, like that's really all I saw. I was like, oh my goodness, he got retired, he came back, went to another team, retired again. But I mean, you just got to listen. We mentioned it in there. It's a little teaser. Just kind of like the fudge and meat. Like, you have no idea what you're getting from that podcast, but now I'm going to go listen. Maybe we'll do it.
I was going to say, wait. Okay, that's a good segment. I was going to ask. You've recorded how many episodes already? You've 3, 4 episodes? 4 episodes. 4 now. I think that's more than Fudge and Meat have done all year. So you're ahead of them. There's no doubt about it. I have to shame them.
All right. Recording. Relax.
I'm just saying.
Did I
come here to get roasted?
Yes. Yes, you did. No question.
Nagle, you're stepping into hater territory, my guy.
Dang. There's no hate. There's nothing but love and support.
Is that podcast shaming? Is podcast shaming a thing?
That's called inspiration. That's called inspiring. That's what I'm trying to do here. And I'm also trying to get people to go head to ajdillon28.com for everything Quadfather, including tons of great merch, including a free signed Quadfather 8x10 with any order over $100. Be sure to check that out. And while you're checking stuff out on the internet, make sure you check out the new superhero shirt that our artist Brent did over there on cheeseheadtv.com shop. Mm-hmm. AJ, the sauce, Dylan, the superhero we definitely all need right now. Cannot thank our panel enough, Susanna, Anastasia, and Peter. Thank you guys so much for making the time tonight. Tyler, as always, rocking it with Social Life. AJ, of course, thank you for being here. Keep carrying the G, and we'll talk to you next week after you whoop up on the Vikings.
And solve climate change.
Climate change will be absolutely solved by next Monday.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great week. Keep carrying the G, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys.
Go, Pack, go.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.